This week, Music Biz Weekly podcast. As we hit the record button, the legislation was signed regarding TikTok. We sit down with Bruce Houghton from Hypebot and Bands in Town, and we start kind of let's talk about what this is really meaning now that the clock is ticking for TikTok. What could happen? How is this going to play out? And as an artist, what do you need to start doing now to be ready for whatever the change might be?
Welcome to the Music Biz Weekly Podcast, founded in 2011 and with over 500 weekly episodes, where Michael Brandvold and Jay Gilbert, two longtime music industry pros, discuss the very latest trends, tools, and tactics that you need to succeed in this new music business.
Everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Music Biz Weekly Podcast. You got Mike, you got Jay. In just a little bit, we're going to be joined by Bruce from Hypebot and Bands in Town for a great discussion on some current events. But before we get started, just a shout out, as always, to Bruce and Hypebot and Bands in Town for all you do to support us here at the Music Biz Weekly podcast and to our sponsors, DiscMakers.com. Have you always wanted to hear your music on vinyl? At DiscMakers, they believe every indie artist should have that opportunity. You shouldn't have to go broke placing your order, and you shouldn't have to wait months to receive it either. That's why they offer the lowest vinyl prices in the country, and your records can be ready in as fast as 3 weeks. 100 12-inch records in jackets starting at just $999. With unparalleled customer service and the widest range of options like different colors, multiple packaging options and weights up to 180 grams. It's easy to see why Disc Makers is the only choice for custom vinyl record pressing. As summer is fast approaching, now is the perfect time to stock up. With a shockingly fast turnaround period and unmatched low prices, there's never been a better time to take vinyl for a spin. Visit discmakers.com/vinyl today to get started on your order. So Jay, it's a current events episode this week. And
It
we
is.
start off with the most current event that literally changed as we were sitting down to record
That's right.
TikTok.
Today we're joined by Bruce Houghton. He does a lot of things. He wears a lot of different hats. He's president of Skyline Artists, so he knows about touring and booking artists, senior advisor to bands in town, editor of Hypebot and Music Think Tank. He's a professor at Berklee Online. I mean, he's one of our favorite people. And we all, it's sort of like the three of us are sitting down having coffee and we just hit record. And seriously, these conversations could go much, much longer, but it's always just the highlight of my week to sit down with Mike and Bruce and talk about current affairs.
We hit on three current affairs this week. We start off with the now signed legislation related to TikTok. I don't want to call it the TikTok ban because that's what we clear up what this is really about.
Right.
We talk about the evolution of media outlets and reviewers, how it's moving from gatekeepers to fans. And
Yeah.
I'm blanking out. What was the last topic?
Gosh, we talked a little bit about knowing your audience and engaging with them and
Yes.
comments and short form video and all sorts of, man, we talked about everything.
Yes. So let it roll. We'll see you at the end.
Follow and rate us on Spotify. Subscribe and leave a review on iTunes. We appreciate your support.
Today we are joined by our good friend Bruce Houghton. Bruce does a lot of things. He runs Hypebot. He does talent booking. What else do you do, Bruce? You do a whole bunch of
Bands in
stuff.
Town,
Bands in
Berklee.
Town, of course, one of our favorites. Anyway, Bruce, great to see you.
Welcome back, and it's always good to have you on because it always leads to what this is going to be, sort of a state of the music industry current events. And let's just kick it right off because literally just minutes before I hit the record button, I saw that the and let's keep politics out of it, but the Ukraine aid package was just signed by the president. And for those of you who don't know, buried in that aid package was the potential TikTok ban that everybody's been talking about for months here. So basically, the clock is now ticking, no pun intended, on TikTok. And maybe what we can do is just, let's sort of just clarify what this whole TikTok thing really is. It's not an outright ban. So first of all, if you're a musician, a fan, whatever, don't worry. Your TikTok app is still going to work today. It's still going to work tomorrow. It's going to work next month. You can post all the content you want. This is, and this is the simplest definition, and chime in, guys. TikTok has 9 months to basically divest themselves or shut down. Now, you know, they're not shutting down. So they've got 9 months to find an American-led company to purchase TikTok and run it for the U.S.
Yeah, and to be fair, it doesn't have to be U.S. It just has to be one of our allies. It has to be.
Yeah, can't be China.
Know, it can't be North Korea. It can't be China. It can't be Russia.
Russia.
Know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, it, you know, they want to divest. It's not like an all-out ban. And there are a lot of reasons for that. And I've read some articles that sort of show there's some misinformation with some of this stuff, but let's not let facts get in the way of a good story. You know, there are those that say, well, all of this information is going to China on all of these users. Well, I'm not sure if that's actually the case. We're hearing that there are safeguards in place, that it's not going, but regardless of what that is, perception's reality, right? And so they've got some time, as you pointed out. You know, they've got months to figure this out. And then, as we were talking before we hit record, you know, Bruce had mentioned, you know, the president can add another 90 days onto that if they need a little bit more time. But they're going to have to sell this thing off and get it into the hands of someone that the United States feels good about.
Well, but it's selling off if TikTok has said they're going to sue on free speech grounds and probably other grounds that I don't even understand. And there's certainly a real opportunity that they may prevail in that regard as well. So it's possible that nothing will change, but
you're right. Exactly. Nothing may change. There's a lot of commentary that this is just a clear First Amendment violation and that TikTok is going to prevail just based on First Amendment rights.
But isn't the First Amendment for Americans?
But it's a violation of the users.
The
First
rights
Amendment.
Of the users. Yeah,
and there's 170 million of them, so it's not nothing.
Right. Yeah, the question though is, and again, this is above my pay grade, but you know, do national security concerns trump free speech? And I suspect that in some instances they do. The other thing I thought that was really interesting was, you know, the power of TikTok is in this algorithm that they have. And I'm not exaggerating when I say a leader of the Chinese Communist Party has said that who has to approve all sales of Chinese companies to foreign entities, not he, the Chinese government does. But anyway, had said, we're not going to let that algorithm go. We're not going to let it into other people's hands. So you could, now, if that's true, I mean, it was quoted in the New York Times, so I'm sure he said it, what it means, who knows.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
If that's true, you could buy a company, you know, who's going to want TikTok without the algorithm is the question.
Exactly.
You know, and how much would it change for all of us, users, creators, et cetera, if it's without algorithm? You know, it's clearly a mess. I mean, I guess you guys work with artists every day. Are you telling them, hey, you know, time to move your
business
efforts,
as usual,
or you're saying
right
stay
now.
Business
as
no,
usual?
No,
I think it's just business
exactly.
as usual because it's we don't know what this is going to lead to. And as Mike pointed out, this is months down the road, and we're going to have plenty of time in the next 9 months, next year, to sort of see, is this going south? Is this going to be shut down? But Bruce, you make a valid point. You know, that's like buying Apple, but you don't get any of their products.
Right.
No one's going to want that unless it's the exact whole thing. And if they're not going to do it. And the great thing about that algorithm that they talk about is it's basically better than most in that it can serve up content. I hate using the C word, but I will. It'll serve up that content based on an individual user, and it's very good. It yep. sees what you're spending time on, what you're engaging with, and it starts feeding you more of what you like, and it learns and it gets better over time. And that's why my TikTok doesn't look like your TikTok, and why that algorithm is so crucial to their business.
Yeah.
I think for musicians, for artists out there, the first thing I would say is this is don't panic. The sky is not falling today, so don't panic. Continue as normal. I would hope you've already established yourself on Instagram Reels, Facebook Reels, and YouTube Shorts. You should be on those other three platforms as well as TikTok. And you know, what does that mean if in 9 months something does dramatically happen where TikTok isn't available in the US? Well, you can be pretty sure those other three platforms are going to be very eager to step up and take users and give them even more. So just they make sure you've covered your butts and you're on all of these platforms. I mean, I just started reading an article this morning. It's like, they don't even know how they would like actually enforce a ban in the US. It would be easier to ban it nationwide than it would be like, doesn't Montana ban it right now? How do you just ban users in Montana? But what does that mean? How do they ban it? What if, can you circumvent that by just using a VPN? And now you are coming in from Canada to TikTok, or are they going to require TikTok to block every US-based account so you can't log in no matter where? There's a lot of open-ended questions here, but the point is, don't panic. This is not a panic.
Yeah, I'm gonna disagree with you too, just a little bit. Not that one should panic, but I think you really need to be aggressively building on one or more other platforms, Reels or Shorts or something. Yeah. You know, and not just have a presence there, but cross post, even let your fans know when you have the opportunity, hey, I'm also on Shorts and Reels or whatever. You know, I mean, I teach at Berkeley, and I had a student last semester. What was the short video platform that Twitter had for a while that they
Vines.
Down? Yeah.
Vines, Elon has dropped a hint that he might bring it back.
Might bring it back, right. So this poor kid had 1 million followers on Vines, and he was only able to get 300,000 of them to go over to Instagram. So, you know, basically his following was cut by two-thirds. So I'm not saying that's going to happen. And, you know, so many, I agree with you, don't panic. But I would say, I think, you know, like we all say to artists, don't just grow on one platform. All of us should be pushing their stuff back to their own website, their own email list, you know, their own, wherever they want to deal with their super fans should be off platform, in my opinion, you know, whether it's Patreon or something.
I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing I would add is that I was reading this story the other day where they said that TikTok is too big to fail. And I remember, you know, MySpace was too big to fail. Yeah. You know, there's been a lot of platforms that have been too big to fail. And look, there's so many other platforms now, competitors. There wasn't initially, but now there is. And if it were to go away tomorrow, just totally go off the planet tomorrow, people will move to these other platforms. If history has shown us anything, it's not that people are married to that technology or that platform. They'll go to where the party is.
Yeah, 100%. And I do want to be clear. You should be across all those platforms. I mean, I tell every client, I'm like, if you're making a video for TikTok, there's no reason you shouldn't also post it immediately to YouTube Shorts, Instagram Reels, and Facebook Reels. It's the same size format. Yeah, the lengths can be different, but you're creating one piece of content, get as much mileage out of it as you can. And then to your other point, Bruce, and I'm trying so hard to educate clients on this, you've got to tell your fans repeatedly, consistently, go follow me over here. Go follow me over here. You know, and I've seen the results of that where it's just like, if you make a post that says, by the way, Are you subscribed to our YouTube channel? Here's the link. 24 hours later, if I look at the stats, there's a huge spike in new people subscribing. 1 week, tell people you got to go to YouTube and subscribe. The next week, are you following us on TikTok? The next week, are you following us on Instagram? Are you following us on Facebook? Get those people all over the place. You can't just say it once and then forget it. Your fans have very short-term memories.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And look at the growth. Let's just take YouTube Shorts. Over the last, I don't know, year or two, you and I have been talking about this tremendous growth that they've been having. And, you know, we've seen this with, you know, Instagram stories and some of these things that are, they're not popular until they are, and people will adapt. Remember, what was it? Clubhouse was big for a hot minute, and you know, these things come and go, but people aren't going to get married to these things. And I think it's so smart what you guys are saying, which is, you know, make sure you're on all of these and then watch the data, you know, and see, you know, what's performing, what's not performing.
I'm a huge fan of YouTube Shorts because I love the way it integrates the audience. Too. You know, I deal with mostly established artists. So, you know, they've had a YouTube presence forever, and the Shorts feeds the YouTube, the long form presence, and the YouTube feeds the Shorts presence. I mean, that to me, I'm not saying it's better than or whatever, but anybody who's not playing in that, you know, sandbox, I think is just making a huge mistake.
My pure opinion here, but I would imagine everybody or the most of the people who are active on TikTok probably also have an Instagram account or maybe a YouTube account. Sure. You know, they're somewhere else as well. And Jay, to your point, if in a worst case scenario, TikTok disappears, those people aren't going to just disappear. They're just going to go to the new location for the party.
Yeah. Because it wasn't that long ago, TikTok wasn't around.
But they may not be your people going to your location. Just remember that.
Yeah,
right.
You're right. Those 170 million people will go somewhere. They may go to three different places. That's but will right. they find? Will your fans will find you in that new place?
And that's why it's your job now to let them know you are all over these places.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And the thing that I always think about is, it's not just about music, although that's our passion. There are people who make their livelihood off of this platform, and, you know, they're paying the rent off of this platform for whatever service that they're providing. And a lot of it's music.
Yeah.
And those are the people that I think you really need to have a plan B, and you need to have it fast. I love, you know, sort of getting across all these different platforms, doing it early and start, if you haven't already, if you're not on these platforms already, you certainly should have that strategy and be building that audience. Because Bruce, you're absolutely right. It doesn't mean that if you have, you know, 100,000 people following you on TikTok, that they're automatically going to follow you on YouTube. Some will. Some are going to follow you through Instagram. Some are going to follow you through. And there's going to be a platform that we haven't even heard of yet, right? There always is, where somebody comes into the marketplace and they succeed. I think there could be a TikTok replacement that we're not even considering
yet. You know, the smart business entrepreneur out there right now is looking at this going, I could be rolling the dice, and this could be an opportunity to come in. And if the worst case scenario happens, I can be there ready for it. And I think I alluded to this at the beginning. You can bet Meta with Facebook and Instagram, YouTube with Shorts. They're already having strategy meetings about this. Okay, how do we fill that hole if this is what happens?
Absolutely.
Because we've already got technically, and again, we're not going to get into the algorithms. Technically, we've got the same kind of content.
Well, I was listening to the Spotify earnings call earlier this week, and he was very clear that the CEO, that they're getting more into to short video. You know, they're already testing long form video, full music videos in 11 countries, but they're also testing short video messages. Well, they've been doing it for a little while, but rolling that out to all artists, et cetera. So he was, you know, they asked him, what do you think is the one of the analysts? Is there an opportunity if TikTok goes or whatever? And his response was, you know, there's an opportunity because people love short form video. So, yes, we're getting into short form video. And there you are. I mean, there you are on a platform that, you know, 610 million or whatever is people use every day for music. And then all of a sudden there's music. I mean, you know, everybody's going to grab a piece of that pie, I'm sure.
Yeah. And you know, is it a pure coincidence that Elon Musk hinted that he might bring the Vines app back, which Vines was basically a TikTok app too soon. It happened too soon.
Right.
But now it could be a prime opportunity. LinkedIn is also experimenting with short form vertical videos. I just shared an article this morning with Jay that Threads, by some estimations out there, are now getting more daily users on Threads than X/Twitter is getting. So these platforms, other platforms you need to be on, and you need to just, I guess what I would also say is right now, just start maybe paying a little more attention to that news. What's going on related to TikTok? Who's, you mentioned Spotify. You know, two of my clients just got the opportunity to start using the short form vertical clips in Spotify. Start playing with them. Start looking at who's developing. Start introducing yourself to this stuff so you're not blindsided one day when you wake up and all of a sudden, again, in a worst case, your Twitter app is dead. Or not your Twitter, your TikTok app is dead.
Yeah. Yeah, cool. Absolutely.
So I'm curious. I know we're going to jump around a little bit if you don't mind. I'm curious, you know, I read just before we get on that Warner Music Group had sold Uproxx and Hip Hop DX back to the original founder, editor, whatever it was. And we saw a couple of weeks ago that Pitchfork was not, you know, put out of business, but got it. I'm just curious with you guys, there's obviously a move away from music journalism, even or whatever you want to call it, you know, music recommendation, blogs, sites, etc. Does that make your job harder as marketers? Because there's less places to get.
It's I'll let Mike answer for himself, but I can just tell you from my perspective, we've seen this coming for a couple of years where it's harder and harder to get premieres. And some of these places, some of these outlets that used to be very strong, they're doing less and less music reviews. And it just makes the publicist's job so much harder when there's not more of these avenues to go. And it's also getting so diluted. And I think it's just a natural evolution. I'm a big magazine guy. You know, I grew up in an era where magazines were just the, you know, Circus, Hip Parader, Cream, Trouser Press, Rolling Stone. I mean, I just love that stuff. And then for me, since I'm just like you two, I'm an avid reader. And I love these apps like Apple News and Apple News Plus, where I can get all of these different magazines and check out their coverage. And I find that amazing, just absolutely amazing. And I know I'm an older guy and I'm an anomaly that I still like to get physical magazines. You know, I just think they're beautiful. If you haven't seen Variety in a while, if you see one of those physical magazines, it's stunning. And just the quality of the magazine and the paper and the images and all that. But I'm also a parent and I have kids, and it's becoming less and less important to them because it's an era of access versus ownership, and they can find information on their favorite artists. They can find out what they ate for breakfast and what tennis shoes they're wearing today. And it's a different world, and they don't see things the way that I do. But I do think that some of these magazines and blogs, you know, the Pitchforks of the world and things, I think it's really unhealthy when these things sort of go to the wayside. I think it's bad for the industry in general. But I will tell you, to answer your question more directly, it has been a tremendous challenge for me with the way this has been evolving to get the kind of attention that I typically get from my artists.
Yeah, I would add it's challenging, but at least for me, less shocking and less surprising, because I think since I've been on social media, God, I know my Twitter account started like in 2007. I mean, I've been on this stuff basically since they were born. And one of the things I quickly was realizing was the old school gatekeepers, the old school record reviewers, journalists, media outlets were losing their value the second social media came up. And why do I mean by that? Because I inherently trust the opinions of my friends way more than I will ever trust the opinion of any major media outlet and a reviewer that I don't know who that reviewer is. I don't know their history of what they like, what they don't like. You know, just because some big outlet says this is a great album, I don't know. I mean,
but did you have any reviewers, Mike, that you just, you know, the David Fricks of the world, or just somebody who you couldn't wait, Robert Hilburn, that you knew, whether you agreed or not, you couldn't wait to kind of hear their take on something?
When pre-internet, yes, of course. But once the internet jumped in, you know, all of my friends that I know I would go to concert with and have the same musical tastes as I do, you know.
Yeah, the problem with that now is that the definition of a friend, as an online friend, and knowing their tastes and knowing how accurate they are, or how trusted they should be, I think has changed as well. I mean, honestly, there were publications. Like, if I read a Paste review, I might not agree with it, but I was pretty sure it was thoughtfully done, if you know what I mean. So. Look, it's just the way it is. I don't want to be the old guy going, oh, I miss my magazine. No offense, Jay.
Get off my lawn.
But I just feel like it's, you know, it's just sad. I teach kids at Berkeley to go, put together quote sheets. And I realized the other day, where the hell are they going to get the quotes from?
You know, well, Bruce, here's where you do this. And this is what I've discovered a few years ago, and it still works. The new quotes come from fans.
Yeah.
Seriously. I will, you know, I'm working with the band Babylon AD right now. And, you know, I will pay attention to the post the band makes on their social media. Mm-hmm. And I'll look at the comments from the fans. And if there's a fan that says, oh my God, that single is old school right off that whole first album, I screen cap that. I'm making a graphic meme that is labeled what the fans are saying, and I put that in there.
Perfect.
Because
perfect.
I'm finding the fans are, again, more trusting of what another fan is saying as opposed to a journalistic media outlet who, you know, do we know that there might be some, hey, listen, as a publicist, I get pitches every week from media outlets. You want us to do a review? Pay us $25.
Yeah, I know. That's sad.
So how do I trust that that review is an actual legit review? I can trust the fan much more than I will ever trust a review outlet. And the same goes for concert reviews. You went to that show and you as a fan who spent $75 said it was the greatest show in the world. That's the review I want the artist to share, as opposed to some big outlet who wrote a beautiful piece. But again, it's continuing to change and evolve, and the fans are becoming the reviewers. The fans are becoming the media outlet, as opposed to some gatekeeper who says, I've only picked these six albums to review this week and your album didn't make the cut.
Well, Bruce, let me ask you this. How has it changed the way that you approach tour support as some of these outlets are evolving and changing? Has it been?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I think, it is. Most of my acts still have pay a tour marketer, we call them, or a tour publicist, that's all they do.
Right.
And sometimes all we're getting is things like a pick in a newspaper, you know, the feature with the best things to do this weekend or whatever. But that stuff adds up, and it's very inexpensive. You know, there are people who work for $100, $150 a show. So it's pretty inexpensive to get that stuff that stuff done. And then, you know, I tell the artist to go spend money on socials, you know, to work with the venue, boosting posts together, et cetera, because rather than spend more than that on a tour publicist, it's not worth it. But yeah, it's definitely got more difficult. Fortunately, and I know this is a pitch, but, you know, fortunately there are things like Bandcamp and you know, specific ways to read email lists. I'm a huge proponent of email lists.
Bands in town for a second. I mean, I just did this. We're kicking off a Heart tour this past Saturday.
Yeah. But
prior to that, we did a couple of runs with Ann Wilson, the lead singer, and her band mm-hmm. Trip Sitter. And I did those with Bands in Town. And I'm telling you, it works. And you can see the conversion, and it's low mm-hmm. cost. And man, you know, I know you're sitting there and you work with them and all of that. But it's the truth. It's one of those tools that you use in tour support that actually works.
Well, right. I was going to add in, you know, the Bands in Town connection here, getting back to fan reviews. There's nothing easier than telling a fan, hey, head over to Bands in Town and leave a review, because, you know, a lot of people don't realize it. But yes, fans can leave comments and reviews for shows they attended. So go tell the fan, leave us a review on Bands in Town of the show. We read them. We want to know what you have to say. And that's where I go in and cherry pick the great quotes from a fan saying, oh my God, I was at the New York City show and it was packed. It was jammed. Yeah. I mean, I had a blast. It was flash, you know, whatever it is. And you just grab that out of the Bands in Town and paste it into a graphic, and you send that to every other city.
You're right, Mike. I mean, there's integrity with that, because it's, you know, and it's real. Not like one of those Amazon reviews that you read and you know that somebody, just by the adjectives that they use, you know, it's like, yeah, okay. But when you hear a true fan, that's why I think that Facebook groups are so powerful. A lot of them aren't massive, but they're passionate. And, you know, I always tell people, don't just go in to join some group and start posting stuff. You know, find out who the admin is, develop a relationship, get to know the people that are in there, and ask permission. And, you know, once you're sort of part of that community, man, no matter what artists that you're working with, those passionate fans can be your street team. They can be your super fans.
Yeah. The other thing I tell artists to do now is, or I sometimes do it for them, I get quotes from talent buyers and festival buyers. Like if somebody says that show is great, I say, fine, give me two sentences. And honestly, they're flattered quite frequently to see themselves in a band's, you know, promotional material.
That's a great one.
But if it's a cool festival or a cool small venue, I also, and they don't do it often enough because ego or whatever, you know, you're opening for somebody and they come back and tell you how great you were, get a quote, Jack from Night Ranger says, this is the best opening act we've had all year. You know, I mean, that would go a long way.
Love that.
Testimonials are gold. Yeah. You should be gathering testimonials from anybody who praises you. Ask them, can I use that as a testimonial? And you're right, Bruce. Everybody basically says, sure, if you want. Yeah. I'm a nobody. And you're like, doesn't matter. Your words.
And they'll probably share that, and other people will share it. You know, one of the things one of my artists does that I think is really smart, and they've done it for 10 years, is they've sort of kept a spreadsheet, like a Google Doc. And as they tour, everybody they meet, they put into this Google Doc, and they'll say, oh, I met Bruce Houghton. You know, he was really great. His dog's name is this. His birthday is this. And they, you know, and then next time they roll into town, you know, they're, hey, Bruce, we're playing the thing. You know, you should come by. And they've developed these relationships, but not only that, they've developed these great, what we call pull quotes from these people. It's like, this is the best band I've seen play this venue in 10 years, Bruce Houghton. You know, it's like, that stuff is, it's genuine, and it's a good way to further your career.
Yeah. Awesome.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, I think even like with what we're discussing with TikTok, when it comes to media, things are changing and evolving, and you have to evolve with it, and you have to look at new ways to get those quotes and those reviews. And again, I will constantly say, don't diminish the value of your fans. Your fan may not have a name like some famous writer, but at the end of the day, the rest of the fans don't care. Yeah, they just do not care that that person isn't famous. They care, are they as passionate about this as I am? And that's sure. what matters.
Well, let me ask you guys something. Switching gears here just a little bit. I think there are different tactics, of course, for the superstar artists. There's different rules for superstar artists. But I'm just talking about middle class and developing artists. What do you guys think of influencers? I know people are paying a lot of money at the Coca-Cola level for, you know, the big companies, that sort of thing. And I know that there's a booming business in influencers, but I'm only talking about sort of your working class artists. Have you had any success, or do you see any upside to paying money for influencers to either use that music in their short form video or to put it on their YouTube channel or whatever, however it manifests itself?
Yeah, I've been involved in a couple of three or four. And the only time it worked was when it was an artist who began, this was on TikTok, had a bit of traction on TikTok. So we had a belief that she, you know, could happen there. And then spending some money amplified what was already happening there. Let's put it that way.
Got it.
You know, but in every other instance, it's felt like a waste of time, a waste of money.
Yeah, my feeling is, and you know, I hate to use the marketing term, but it's all about, is that influencer really your target? Are their followers your target? Because I've worked with somebody years ago, and I've talked to people who've worked and done stuff, and the influencer wasn't that focused of a target market. It was a broad. It's like, hey, this is a big person in the music industry. Yeah, okay. Does that mean Britney Spears, or does that mean Slayer? Because they're both right. in the music industry. Right. You know, right. If I'm trying to reach more Britney Spears people and your followers are Slayer fans, it's an absolute waste of money. Sure. And I think that is the real key, in my opinion, when it comes to working with influencers, is to really understand who that influencer is, but more importantly, who the influencer is influencing, who their followers are.
Somebody once said to me, if you can afford to buy their influence, then they're probably not that influential. And I thought, there's probably truth to that. Do you
that's
know what
like
I mean?
The old, that's like the old joke. I don't want to belong to any club that would have me as a member. You
that's
know,
right, exactly.
You know, and Bruce, I think you were basically on the mark, where it's like you identify something that was happening, and then you put more funds into that right. to try and amplify it. And, you know, Jay and I have always said this. It's not, you can't make something go viral. That's impossible to make
But you've been on those calls,
right.
Mike, where someone says, yeah. You know what we need here, Mike? We need a viral video or a viral moment. And you're like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, we do.
I hadn't thought of that. Let me go back to the lab. And
I'll give you a guaranteed viral moment here. It's more of, and again, Jay and I have always said this, you've got to be in a position where you can recognize a potential viral moment before it happens. Once it's happened,
yeah.
you're
yeah,
probably yeah. too late to the game. If yeah. it's already happening, you missed your viral moment. You yeah. need to recognize something and go, hey, this is getting a little bit of traction, Jay. What if we dump a few hundred dollars into it to amplify it? Does that give it a little more oomph to get it over the top?
See, that makes a lot more sense to me. And Bruce, you alluded to this too. It's like you're throwing gasoline on a fire. And I've always told people this when they talk about their distributor. A lot of people don't know the difference between a label and a distributor. And so, you know, I tell them, a distributor is not going to start your fire. They're going to throw gasoline right. on your fire if you have a good one. And I think that's true with a lot of aspects of the music business. Everybody wants the most they can possibly get for the least they can possibly do. But this business has a very high failure rate if you're looking at ROI. And the people that I see that maintain a level of success, however you identify that, it's like consistency rewards everyone. you know, and hard work. And unfortunately, a lot of people don't want to put in that sort of work, and they look for those shortcuts. Like, if I just get on this one playlist, okay, well, a playlist is not a marketing plan, but, or if I just get this press hit that I've always wanted. And the last thing I'll say on my rant is that I saw this analysis. In fact, I saw two of them. One was done by Warner Music Group and one was done by Universal Music Group when I was working at those companies, where they looked at all of the TV shows that are out there that you can get a band on, all of the, you know, terrestrial radio, satellite radio, just all of these different things. And they looked at their artists throughout, you know, a 10-year period. And what happened when they got on those different shows and platforms? Was there lift? Because a lot of people don't realize that when you get on, let's say, Good Morning America, you got to provide the backline. You got to get there. It's going to cost you some money to get on there. And is that appearance going to generate some revenue, some ROI for it? And the sad fact is that most of them do not consistently do that. In fact, some of them, it went down. There were a handful that, if you ask Amazon, they'll tell you, you know, CBS Sunday Morning, Tiny Desk. There are a few of those things that consistently do it, but you got to be careful what you wish for, because not all of these things, you know, generate what you think it's going to generate, whether it's a TikTok moment with an influencer, you know, whether it's that press hit that you've been dreaming of getting in that one publication, you know, getting a review that may or may not be a review that you're going to be proud of. So I guess that's a long-winded way of saying, be careful what you wish for.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's, I've often found it sad and frustrating that artists and the people that work with them often do not do a good job of identifying those moments as they're starting to come, identifying what's important, and really even just identifying what makes them special in the eyes of the fan. There was an agent we worked together for 25 years, Mark Laurie, who used to say, it's not good enough to be great, you have to be special. In other words, There's a lot of great guitar players and singers and even songwriters, but what makes this one special, right? And I think if people, you know, would think, artists and manager, whatever, would think about what is this, my special, not, you know, in the eyes of my fans, and amplify that, you know, really work to milk it is a bad word, to promote to experiment with that, you know, et cetera, that I think, you know, you would find yourself with, you know, in other words, it goes back to the thing, where do I have traction? You know, why do they love me? Why are they coming to shows? Why are they listening to this song? Well, can I do more of that? You know, they love me for that. How do I do more of that? Now it has to be, you have to be true to yourself, and you can't keep writing the same song over and over again. And you can tell me 100 reasons why I'm wrong to say that. But I think at its core, it's fine. It is, you know, what is it that made you special? And how do you do more of that? You know, what's working?
That. Yeah. Go ahead, Mike.
I was going to say, and real quick, you get those clues by paying attention and watching what your fans are saying everywhere. Don't close your mind off to that because you hate social media. You got to go in there and see what they're saying, and you pick up, you will quickly pick up, if you've got engagement going on, those clues repeated over and over again. Geez, in that one thread, 6 fans said the same thing.
Right.
Good or bad.
Yeah.
You've got to pay attention to that because and again, going back to reviews, I think the fan giving you that comment is much more valuable than a media outlet that came out to review the show that night because they were on the guest list. Mm-hmm. Okay, I still will listen to what the media outlet has to say, but I want to know how many of those fans who plucked down their own hard-earned cash that came out left going, fuck, I'm going back the next time that you come to town, or, boy, that was disappointing.
No, I say force yourself to read the comments, because if 12 people 100%. Tell you you were too loud. If half the comments are, I love them, but why did they come on 45 minutes late? You went on too late. You know, it's all there. The good and the bad is there. You've just got to go look for it and listen to it. And again, you know, take it all with a grain of salt, make it your own. Don't worry about the one comment about, you know, your shoes were too green. Who cares? You know, but there are trends, and I think you can find them.
Yeah. And I think what you just mentioned, just to put an exclamation point on it, Bruce, is that you'd be surprised how many people I'll meet and they're not actively going in and responding to comments and reading those comments on YouTube and on their socials. And it's so important, because as a fan, I can tell you that, man, when you get one of your favorite artists who agrees with something that you said, or reposts, yeah, you know, a photo that you took, or whatever that is, man, you're going to share that. You're going to remember that, because people don't remember what you did, right? They remember how you made them feel. And the last thing I'll say on it is, I firmly believe that you have to really segment your audience and know who your audience is. And again, I find people who, because they just look out from the stage, they think, oh, well, that's my demographic, that's my audience. But as you guys know, it's more complex than that. There are like three basic groups. You know, you've got your commerce, sales streams, downloads, merch, premium vinyl, all that stuff. You got the butts in the seats, that's a whole nother group. And then you got your socials, maybe what you're doing on TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff. And those three buckets rarely fully align. And there's so much you can learn if you're just curious to see, like, who really is my audience, and am I engaging with that audience?
Right. 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. Guys, I think we've hit the hour mark.
We could talk for days. We should do this more often, you guys.
Well, I want to just say I'm really happy today, Jay, because I was starting to get a class. Two of these I did. I love Michael, but it was just Michael. You somehow, for some reason, weren't available. So I thank you for, you know, bucking up and coming today. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, these round tables on current events are just great. I mean, you know, I think what this illustrates also is part of your job as a musician, as an artist, is you got to pay attention to some of these current events.
Yeah, don't wait
until you're forced to do something. Well,
go to Hypebot and read that thing every single week, and you'll keep up on what's going on. But you know, you just need to, you don't have to read every single article that comes out. Just look at the stuff that's interesting, look at the trends, look at those headlines, read a little bit about this stuff, just so you stay on top of it, because it's changed while we've been having this conversation. And anybody who tells you that they're up on the music industry, unless it's maybe Bruce, they're probably lying. So watch this stuff carefully.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Awesome. Bruce, thank you for joining us. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Take care. All right. Bye-bye.
Jay, as we said, always a pleasure having Bruce join us.
Sure is.
You know, yeah, especially when it's just talking about the current events, because as you said, Hypebot, it's, you know, go there every day, go there once a week. You're going to stay on top of what's going on. And yeah, you don't need to go deep into everything and have a deep, intimate understanding. But, you know, start paying attention. You know, now is the time to start paying attention to what's being said about TikTok.
Absolutely.
All right. You know, as we said, the clock is now ticking when it comes to TikTok. It's official. It was signed. Something's going to happen. What does that mean? We don't know. Don't panic, but start preparing, start listening. And that way you won't be surprised if something dramatic does happen.
That's right. And you've had this underlying theme for this podcast for years, which is educate yourself, right? You don't have to read every single article. There are people like us that read a lot of them, and we'll report back on this stuff, but be curious, stay on top of this stuff. It changes really quickly.
Yeah, it really does. So, you know, once again, as we wrap up, just a shout out to Bruce, Hypebot, Bands in Town, for all you guys do to support us. And of course, to our sponsor, discmakers.com. We appreciate everything you do to support us as well. And if you've got a comment, leave it. Spotify, you can leave a comment for us on Spotify. Still can't reply to them yet.
No, so don't feel like we're blowing you off.
We're not blowing you off. We just can't reply yet. You could leave a question there and we could address it in the next episode, or just leave a comment. You know, what's your feeling about this TikTok situation? You think it's going to go away? The whole ban, is that going to just disappear? Or is TikTok going to make some changes? Let's start sharing some opinions on this, because now's the time to do it. Like I said, it's official.
Yeah.
It's been signed. Something's going to happen. All right, everybody. That's it. Music Biz Weekly Podcast. We'll see you all next week.
Professionals, listen to the Music Biz Weekly Podcast. If you have a product or service and would like to reach this audience, get in touch with Michael or Jay to discuss sponsorship opportunities.
Music Biz Weekly, provided by LarryDavisVoice.com and by JessicaMarsVoice.com. That's Mars with a Z.